I felt something New Year's Eve. I heard in me say this. There was an end to the things that had been as we had known them. Well, I didn't hear all that New Year's morning. I heard the rest of it as we have known them. I heard New Year's Eve, there's an end to the things that, I mean, I heard that in me. And then New Year's Day, early in the morning, I heard the rest of it. The things as we have known them is ending. And I knew it wasn't just talking about natural things. And although I'm persuaded now that there's a lot of things in the natural world that we have known and have come to rely on have finished their course. There'll be an end to it. Whether it's just finances, that I don't know. And I'm sure we're all aware of the fact, I'm old enough to remember the 29 Depression. And it's not pretty. It wasn't pretty. In one day's time, there was $43 trillion in retirement funds went down the drain. So now they're printing more money and trying to recover it. But be that as may, if the things that we have leaned on and depended on are movable, we might ought to get ready for them to move. I mean, and that's not a gloom and doom thing to me. That's a shout. It's hallelujah. For whatever it means, the things that as we have known them will change. So I began to inquire within me, and Paul made the statement, until faith come, we were shut up under law. And I didn't know he said that. I guess I did, but I forgot. And so our whole life had been contingent on faith. I heard a preacher say not long ago, what we need is more faith. That can't really be true, because the scripture said that God gave to every man the measure of faith. Do you think that God would promise you something and then make it impossible for you to attain? Of course not. God gave every man a measure of faith. And we understand that. So we said, well, and of course, the ministry has used this phrase, come to our meetings and you're going to get great faith and get great things. So our whole system is built on, if you've got faith, you can get things. You see, faith was never given to you to get things with. It just wasn't. Be that as may. I heard this in my heart, and I already knew it. Receiving the end of your faith. Remember the scripture? Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. That's what it says. So there's an end to faith. So if people who is relying on faith to get things, when their faith comes to an end, their things goes out the window. Somebody said, I'm living by faith. No, you're not living by faith. Romans 5, and I don't want to go through. Romans 5 says this. Being therefore justified by faith, you have peace with God. And if you ever want to do a word study on the word justified, it's a beautiful word. It literally means you can stand upright with no load on you. You're justified. That faith that God gave you raises you up and lets you stand upright with no weight on you. And that's what you just did tonight. You stood up tonight. There's no weight in your head. And that's where it begins. There's none there. But in that same statement, he said, you're justified by faith. You have peace with God. Then he said, by whom you also have access by that faith into grace wherein you stand. So all of a sudden, grace or faith gets you into grace. You never stand in faith. You stand in grace. And grace is that divine influence on your heart. Then you can say, for it is God which worketh in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's out of your hands. What are you going to do with it? It is God which worketh in you. You got nothing to do with it. It's God that works. But that's grace. That's divine influence on the heart. And that takes it out of the hands of, like you said, men, ministers, preachers. Call it what you want to. Religion, it has nothing to do with it. The hands of the doctors, which some of you are well familiar with. And thank God for doctors. Thank God. But it's the divine influence in that doctor's life that knows what to do to your physical body. Man, I don't thank God for medical science. Every aspect of it. And probably in my generation, I'll see the cure for a lot of things that they say there is no cure for. Because we've come, Daniel said the book was sealed until the age of knowledge. And we've now come to the age of knowledge. And Paul said in Ephesians, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened so that you would know. That's what we've come to an age of the eyes of our understanding being enlightened so that we now know. And he didn't say anything about the hope of my calling. He said the hope of his calling. What is God's calling in your life? He said when your eyes are understanding them, you're going to know the hope of his calling. It ain't about my calling, it's about his calling in our life. So all these things have been tied with faith. Then here come the age-old scripture. Romans, Paul said this, faith cometh by hearing. How many times have we said that? So we've always said, well, faith comes by hearing the word. It don't say that. It doesn't say that. It said faith cometh by hearing. Hearing comes by the word, not faith. So all my life has been contingent on the faith. Get more faith, you get more things. So I read recently, they brought a man to him that was deaf and dumb. He couldn't hear, therefore he couldn't speak. And I looked at that. And it says, in substance, he opened his ears, and it said, and his tongue was loosed. And when the ears is open that you can hear, you can speak what the ear hears. Yeah. When the ear is open to hear, here it comes. Out of the mouth. God is where? In the mouth. But you can't speak that until those ears hear that. And he's talking about these things here. But it says his ears was open and his tongue was loosed. So now he can not only hear, but he can go around singing. He can talk. That's being just, or that's being standing up with no weight on you. So here's what I wanted to read. It took me a long time to get there, didn't it? In Mark, I think it's Mark. It is Mark somewhere. I can quote it, but I'd rather read it to you. The woman had the issue of blood. You remember the scripture? Most of you do. It said she was diseased. Only one place in the scripture says that. She was diseased with an issue of blood. Did you find it? It says she was diseased with an issue of blood. And it don't say what the disease was. There was a blood, something wrong with blood. Your heart attack was caused not by what was wrong with blood, but by the flow of the blood. If you have a heart problem, it's not the heart itself in the beginning, it's the lack of blood, which is the lack of oxygen. And how did God ever sit down and figure out a human being? the blood pumps, the heart pumps the blood through the brain. The brains are connected somewhere, and it creates the oxygen that feeds the heart. What her disease was, we don't know. But it says she was diseased with an issue of blood. Now watch. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, you remember the issue, remember the scripture, if I can touch the issue, the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She touched his garment. He said, who touched me? Nobody said anything. Finally, it said that she came to him and bowed to him and weeping. And here's what I heard in my heart, and I didn't know the scripture said it. It said, she told him everything. She told him everything. She brought everything out of her closet. And it's amazing how many people are not allowed to do that. I know marital situation where a man can't tell a woman and a woman can't tell a man. They have things that they're afraid of intimidation. It's there. But it says she told him everything. And here's the key, as far as I'm concerned, to life. It has to come out of our being. We've got to tell it everything like it is. And I don't mean you have to tell me all your is, but you tell him everything. Bring everything out of the closet. Somebody said he knows it anyhow. Yeah, he does. But you'll never get out of it. You'll never get rid of it until it comes out of your mouth. It don't matter what it is. She told him everything. She told him everything. And I kept hearing it. It kept ringing. And then he said, Woman, your faith, you're all right. Two blind men came to him, and I read it a while ago. And I'm saying all this to say something, and I'm having a hard time getting there. I'll get there. Two blind men came to him. Wanted to be healed. You know what he did? If you remember, he looked at them and he said, your faith makes you whole. That's where I want to go. Thy faith has made thee whole. It is never my faith that makes you whole. I watched a movie the other night, part of on a TV. And the young man was searching. He was in martial arts. And he had gone to an old man to find out all the secrets about martial arts. And he put a thing around his neck, a chain. He said, you go find the master. And when you find the master, he'll give you all the answers to the martial arts. And the young man went everywhere. He had fights and knocked down and dragged out looking for the master. And he finally understood there was no master. So he goes back to the old man that told him to go find the master. Maybe some of you seen the movie. I don't even know what the name of it. I've read so much of the movie. But when he went back to the old man to make him explain to him, why did you tell me there was a master? And the old man pointed his head. He said, that's the master. He's been there all the time. Oh, we're looking for something that's been there all the time. He understood the master. I got an email from some people not too long ago. And they were telling me about their experience that they had with tuning forks. And let's just incorporate a lot of things here. It doesn't matter if it's a tuning fork, if it's a Ouija board, it's laying hands on you. It doesn't matter the instrument. It's your faith that does the job. And they said, oh, I went to this ministry that uses tuning forks. You know what a tuning fork is? And I used to kind of frown on that. But this has taught me something. If I give my faith to a tuning fork, the tuning fork will work for me. If I'm riding a jackass on the side of a mountain and he talks, it's the same thing. So in the tuning fork thing, they were talking about such an awesome experience they had when their brother gave them the tuning fork ministry, whatever that is. And I thought, wait a minute. I'm hearing something, but I don't know how to put it together yet. It went right back to the same thing. The woman touched the hem of his garment. The blind man said, open our eyes. And he would say, your faith makes you whole. Thy faith is always thy faith. And it's like James said, we've looked for everybody to bring us the answer. And it's my faith. I don't care who the messenger is, it's always going to be my faith that gets me my answer. So I heard the Lord begin to teach me some things. If I lay hands on you, and I do, I have hands laid on me. If I lay hands, it's not my hands, it's you transferring your faith to my hands. It ain't my hands that heal you, it's your faith. You hear what I'm saying? Give it to a tuning fork. Put it in this Bible and stand on it. It doesn't matter the instrument, it's your faith. And you have to let somebody have your faith if you're looking for somebody to bring you your answer. It's your faith. It don't matter who, and you can't, I don't think we need to take away from anything. Laying on of hands, let them use a tuning fork. I don't care. It doesn't matter. And I mean when the Ouija board first becomes a no-no to Christian people. The real truth is you don't need any of those things. Once recognition has come, it's your faith. It's in your house all the time. Your answer, whatever it is in your house. It's not in my house. It's in your house. It's in your house. Thy faith makes you whole. Receiving the end of your faith. What is it? The scripture says the salvation of your soul. But it literally refers to being made whole. And the question was asked, will thou be made whole? Not will you have your problem solved. He didn't ask the question, do you want to be healed? He said, do you want to be made whole? Completeness. Yes. Understanding. Your true identity. That's the end of your faith. That's the salvation of your soul. It ain't got nothing to do with praying long prayers, and we understand that, and telling God you're sorry that you got caught with your thing in a cookie jar. That ain't got nothing to do with it. The question comes to your house, will you be made whole? Jane Hernandez made up her mind, she would be made whole. And it doesn't matter if it's a physical infirmity or if it's a spiritual log jam somewhere. The question comes, do you really want to be made whole? Do you want to receive the end of your faith? And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you live in that faith along until, but you see, listen to it, look at it. What you believed in hasn't worked. If it don't work, something's wrong. If it's broke, fix it. We haven't known how to fix it. We knew there's something wrong. I think I've shared this with you. I've got a guy that works on the place. And him and my son works together, or they did. We got chainsaws and lawnmowers and all these things. So when something would break, they'd bring it to the shop. Lay it down. I said, fix it. It's broke. Dad, we don't know how. I've heard that 100 times. You break something? And you don't know how to fix it? And then the Father taught me something. I haven't known how to fix something that was broke. I knew it didn't work. And you see, it won't work right if you don't fix it. a chainsaw, we'll cut a tree down with a dead saw, with a dead chain. It'll cut a whole lot quicker if you'll follow the chain. Fix it. We haven't known how. Do you want to be made whole? And I hear the Spirit of Truth resounding, ready in my being to declare to ever. Do you? Will you be made whole? Of course we will. That faith makes you whole. And I know Jane. I've known her for years. Her and Joe for a long time. And I consider them my dearest of friends. And I've watched her, especially her, struggle with some issues. And I knew every time we'd have a meeting, she'd keep thinking, well, maybe this meeting. Let me tell you now, the end of your faith is when you understand you've got the faith to challenge anything that contradicts you. It's in your house. It ain't another meeting. It ain't going to be another somebody preaching to you. It's an awakening, an understanding. Thy faith makes you whole. That's the end of faith. And I don't know if some people want to end their faith walk or not. You've got to come out of faith. You got to move into knowing. See, that goes into another world.
Maturity is coming into the knowing.
Let me read this real quick. Again, my son and I had a discussion about this on the phone day before yesterday, I think. What would you do if a brother come to you and ask you to forgive him of his sins? Take him to Jesus? No, I'm serious. If a brother come to you and said, I've sinned, what would you do to him? You know what John said? John said, forgive him. You forgive him. Listen to me. If we are the light of the world, somewhere we're going to have to quit passing the buck. My youngest son is a captain in the military. And he's now commander of his unit for a while. But I asked him this. He's going back to Iraq sometime in early spring. I said, does your rank give you any privileges when you're over there? And he said, none. You see, a bullet don't know a captain from a private. Somewhere we have thought somebody's rank was higher than us, and so we passed the buck. I'm telling you now, for some people, the days of passing the buck has ended. We're going to understand that the whole ball game lays right here in the house of God. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I didn't say it, God said it. And because God said, I can say it. And it won't never amount to nothing if I don't say it. And I go back again, God is nigh you. He said it in your mouth and in your heart. God is in you. That's where God is. And somebody said, well, the Word said, the Word, if you don't speak it, the Word ain't never spoken. Somebody else said, Word don't mean a hill of beans. It's the Word that's in you that is the key to all of our, to every situation. It has to, God's got to come out of your mouth. It ain't coming out of my mouth. God's got to come out of your mouth. That's what He said. Read it. God is nigh you. Where? Everybody knows the scripture. Where's He at? In the mouth? And in the heart? Did He say, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth? Did He say it? Here's what I'm going to read with John. And see, when you do that, you don't usurp lordship over Him. If somebody comes to you and says, I'm a sinner, I've sinned. What would you say? What would you say? I mean, probably you never thought about it, but what would you say? You know, I forgive you. I. The I. The I that I am. The I am that I am. Forgives you. That's what he said. Let's read it. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. You really believe that? I'm reading it. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Let me ask you a question. What is sin? And I'm not playing with you here. See, there's a sin mentality in almost everybody. There's a sin consciousness in almost everybody. Even people who feel with the Spirit walk with God, somewhere in the back of their mind, they have a sin mentality that they can still commit a sin. This says you can't. What are you going to do with it? I just read it. Whosoever is born of God does not sin. Can you believe that? I'm reading it. Y'all look at me like I dropped the atomic bomb. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He said, we know, and faith don't have a part in this. It's like James said, once you know, faith is the end of your ballgame. You need to quit meditating on faith and understand what you know, you know. I read it. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he, now listen to it, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. He don't pray, oh God, help me. And I'm not making fun of this thing. I'm serious. He doesn't call Oral Roberts prayer tower. He doesn't obey Billy Graham's command, come forth. He that is begotten of God, it says, he keepeth himself. How do you do it? By knowing who you are. Shall I quit or continue? And Jane, you started all of this.
I always said I was a third. Don't finish
your... Now, let me read the rest of that. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Hello. Hello. Keep yourself. You've been begotten of God. The sin is not an issue. You can't sin. I just read it. So if you can't sin, he said, keep yourself. You've been begotten of God. Keep yourself and that wicked one. Well, that wicked one is not the drug addict or the alcoholic. That wicked one is the one that tells you that you're somebody that you're not. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That's a lie. That's the wicked one lying to you. I never will forget how I felt when I understood that I never was lost in the sense that the religious world had me lost. I've never been lost. My father's always known where I was. You think about it. Then could you say you've always been saved? And I know I'm touching some iffy waters here, but that's all right. We need to touch them. We need to come and tell him everything. That's what she did. She told him all things. And the question that we have, we need to bring them. Let them out. Get rid of them. Let me redress this, then I'll let you tell me what you think. Maybe I don't want to know what you think. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And again, let me emphasize, that wicked one is not some heathen somebody out there that we're afraid of. That ain't got nothing to do with this. We have to understand this is a spiritual being. This is a spirit world that we're dealing with. Amen? We're a spirit being, and we're dealing with spirit world here. Ain't got nothing to do with somebody walking the street with a shotgun. That ain't the wicked one he's talking about. He said, and we know, verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God is come. Hallelujah. He coming. I just read it. But here's the key again. We know. We know. Faith ain't got nothing to do with it. It just doesn't. We know that the Son of God is come. And he keeps emphasizing that. And have given us, look what he said, an understanding. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding. The coming of the Son of God brings you understanding. I can't say it no other way. What can we say about that? Now, if y'all want to hug my neck when I get through here, I know you like me. Let's read the rest of it. We know the Son of God is come and have given us understanding. Then he tells you why. That we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. That might bring you in. Even in his Son, then he puts Jesus Christ, or the anointed word. The word Jesus Christ means the anointed word that's made flesh. Remember John 1? The word was made flesh. So Jesus Christ means the anointed word that is made flesh. Sitting right there in front of me. But I just read it. I'm just reading what it says. Then he said, you know all these things. He said, little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. Keep yourself from everything that tells you that you're somebody that you're not. That's an idol. Turn me off. Now tell me what you think.
Let me ask you something. If the law was fulfilled, right, and the law was for the Jews, and it was fulfilled, and you were going to rise as new creatures in Christ Jesus, and this Christ, you want to put it that way, then there is no law. So there's no sin.
There was no sin.
See,
there was no sin until the law came. When you finally understand, see, the law was finished. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, that Christ is the end of the law. But he qualified that for everyone that believes. So once you believe that Christ ended the law, he's the end of it. But he come back to Romans, he said, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. Not the letter of the law, but the righteousness of the law. And he went to say, the law is good, righteous, and holy. But there was nothing fulfilled in it, but the right, we were reserved, and we were the Gentile people, that the righteousness of the law was fulfilled, because to a Jew, he's still letter. He's still law. They know about the right. They know the letter that killeth, and they're under a sentence of death. Anybody that lives under a religious law, it doesn't make a difference if he's Jew, Gentile, or who he is. If he lives under a law, a letter of the law, he's under death. Now look at the scenario. And we said this earlier, the word pope and the word pastor mean the same thing. Don't throw a stone at me now, but if you're living under a pastor, you're under death. Do what you want to with it. That's what he said. You're under death. And I know what somebody said, well, what about a pastor? What about a pastor? There was none given in the New Testament until some 300 AD. And they was given by the Roman Pope. The word pastor and the word Pope. The purpose of it is to hold power over somebody's life. Go look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and watch them be baptized. They were baptized under the cloud, in the cloud, Paul said. They're baptized in the Red Sea. There was a lot of baptism. Well, baptism means to bury you in something. A teaching, a doctrine, whatever it is, that's baptism. And the first thing a pastor wants to do is get you baptized in your name on the books. Then you become a subject. They're up here, you're down here. That came from Rome. And I said this, and some people don't like it, but it don't matter to me anymore. My point lies, it doesn't matter what people like or don't like. I don't want to deliberately offend nobody. But that fivefold ministry we call it, as we have known it, pastors, teachers, and it says God gave some that was never a part of the canon of scriptures. That was implemented by translators. And there were 42 men that translated what we call the King James Bible. At the order of King James. That's why it's called King James. He ordered the translation. But they took other translations and other translations and translated a translation into a translation into a translation. So we call it the King James. I mean, and somebody said it today here. I mean, she said it. The true book of life is not this. We know that. And the living epistle that's known and read by all men is not this. The living epistle that's known and read by all men is sitting right here. That's the living. It's got life in it. This ain't got no life in it. I love this. Ain't no life in it. It's a testimony. He said, search the scriptures. That's where you think you got your life. He said, they are they which testify of me. This is a testimony. Ain't no life in it. And see, the spirit of truth is in you, not in this. And you can read this until you drop dead. I hope you don't. But if the spirit that's in you don't give life to this, you won't ever have no life of this.
Then the apostles of the Galatians, he said, they were Gentiles, and he said to the Galatians, oh, who has bewitched you?
Yeah.
Who has put you back under the law?
Oh, foolish Galatians. He said, you begin the spirit. Now you made perfect by letter. Yeah. That's good preaching, Joe.
You know, Constantine came along, and what did he do? He put everybody back under the law, and the Catholic Church established all the laws. And he pulled them up, and he was way back under the law.
See, about 75%, between 70 and 75% of Protestant doctrine is Roman Catholicism. It really is. And we've been so blinded, we've been blindsided by so-called, quote, pastors, and I've been one of them. And I don't have no stone to throw at a man. We do what we do sometimes out of blight or out of ignorance, and I did a lot of things out of ignorance. So I got no stone to throw at a man, but I'm here to tell you now, if you're under that baptism, that cloud of pastor, you might well be under the cloud of pope, because they're one and the same. They're there to hold dominion and to make you think that you need them to tell you about God. Hello. Every man sits under his own fig tree. We don't know that yet. I'm so glad that Jane made the statement, I don't need a man. Well, John put it this way. He said, the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not a man to teach you. Now, it didn't say that somebody couldn't teach you, but it don't come from the spirit of a man. It comes from the spirit of truth that's in there. Because the spirit of truth only teaches you one thing. Truth. But all he really come for was to bring you back to where you really always were. To help you to remember who you was before you got messed up and who you are.
And that's coming home.
Well, of course
that
it is.
That is coming home.
Yes, it is. That's the prodigal getting out of the pig pen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the prodigal son coming to his senses in the pig pens of religion. He said, man, this boy, this is back home with my father. I'm going back home. And that's exactly where we're coming from. And when I say religion, it doesn't matter what you call it. If it's not the spirit of truth, it's religious concepts. And part of it may be true, part of it may not be true. I know people who still want, quote, personal prophecy. That's fine if that's what you want. But why would you want that in part realm? That's all it is. We all know this. There's nine, what we call nine gifts of the Spirit. Nine fruits of the Spirit. But if you look at it, that's what they are. They're fruits that Spirit bears. If the Spirit gives you a gift, it's your gift. And you can use it when you want to. If it's your gift. Somebody said, oh, somebody prophesied, that must have been God. If you have a gift, you can prophesy anytime. If you speak in tongues, I can speak in tongues at any time. But when I read in Corinthians, the tongue is going to cease. Why do I want to keep doing it? If prophecy is going to fail, why do I want somebody to prophesy with me? It's in the Scripture. It's gifts. But they're given to babes.
I don't even. But I do hear sometimes for me to prophesy on the
wind,
certain things. Well, of course you did. And just big things for my own footsteps walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a
stretch.
I heard
Des Wallace say right here in this room that what we call speaking in tongues belongs to children. He said it right here. And I'm not saying because Des Wallace said it, that's the eternal truth. But that is the truth. As long as you have to have a gift, we're still children trying to grow up. We play with toys. And I like my toys. but when you put away, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. But after a while, you ain't a kid no more. I watched my youngest son Christmas. His little boy is 5-year-old. And he bought a whole bunch of toys for his little boy. Trains. But I watched my son down the floor. I think he enjoyed the toys more than my little grandson did. He's just a big kid. That's what I... 40-year-old, but he's a big kid, you know. How old are we? You know. Amen, I quit. Young. Remember, if you don't hug my neck, ask them. Jane will answer them tonight.
No, I can't. Right here, you can answer them.
But Joe was writing in Galatians 3, and he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Are you so foolish? You began in the Spirit. You're now made perfect by the letter. He used the word flesh, it means letter. Of course it is. I see that pop. No. But here's everybody said, I'm Abraham's seed. The blessing of Abraham is mine. You're funny. You're Abraham's seed after the flesh or the letter. This ain't Abraham's seed. We've been begotten of an incorruptible seed. Abraham never touched this. John made it, you've been born of an incorruptible. That's why there can be no corruption in you. There ain't none there. There just isn't. And I know what people say. Oh, Paul said, corruption, got to put on incorruption. Who's he talking to? Mortal, got to put on immortality. You understand something? You do away with it when you understand. It's understanding that puts on incorruption. Well, of course. As understanding comes, corruption disappears, incorruption comes, mortal phase, immortality comes, all by understanding. It is. It really is. That's what he said in Ephesians 1. I had the awesome, I guess it was a privilege, of dealing with a woman dying with cancer. She knew she was. She'd had surgery. Everything was over. It wasn't a matter of if, it was just a matter of when. And she was scared to death. I said, why are you afraid? She's afraid to die. She knew nothing about the unknown, they call it up there. She knew nothing. And I spent probably 2 hours with her. And when you know you're ready to draw your last breath, there ain't no argument in you. There better not be. She was ready to hear anything that would give her hope. And when I explained death to her, it was almost like somebody just took a big old steamroller and just rolled it off of her, and she just come alive. I said, why are you afraid of death? I said, apparently you're going to a hole in the ground. Or to an incinerator. That don't end nothing. You need to understand that doesn't end anything. And when I got through talking with her, I never in my life seen anybody so excited. Because I erased the fear. I brought understanding to her that what you're afraid of don't even exist. Remember John F. Kennedy said, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. And that's what understanding does. My God, I feel such an awareness of that, of the, I guess it's a consciousness that we are the presence of God. We're not just in the, we are the presence of God. Really, really we are an expression of that presence. Praise God. If you have questions, ask them. I mean, I don't care. If I can answer them, I can. I will. But don't. I tell you, I can't answer it. I don't know. I would that all men come to knowledge of the truth, and all men is. If you think you're beyond the state, and you want to die, go ahead. I'll let you go. An old pastor in Illinois taught me that years ago. If somebody wants to die, let them die. Don't pray for God to let. Don't do that. And he'd go into a hospital. They tell Brother Owen, I want to die. He said, when? Well, I'm tired. I'm wore out. He'd take them by the hand and release them. You know what? They'd quit breathing. They said, you understand. When you quit breathing in this thing, you haven't ended anything but a lifestyle that you've known in this body right here. Oh, but that life is not over. The moon ain't turned to blood yet.
Universe that we know